Yeah, Dylan, okay. Are you a fan of Weird Al Yankovic?
I am indeed.
So you do enjoy The Saga Begins by Weird Al Yankovic?
I am indeed.
Can you sing the chorus for us?
I cannot.
My, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later. Now he's just a small fry.
Welcome to the Nerdy Reads podcast. One of our hopes is that we inspire you to read more than you did last year. If you read zero books and you read one in 2024, we will celebrate that with you. 2 to 5, 10 to 12, whatever the number is, we want to encourage you and are grateful that you are joining us in the goal of reading more stories. Here at the Nerdy Reads podcast, we enjoy sci-fi, fantasy, horror, comics, and manga. If it's considered nerdy, we will read it. Today, we are visiting a galaxy far, far away in yet another Star Wars episode on Nerdy Reads podcast, and it isn't even May the 4th yet. And in honor of the occasion, I wanted to read a quote from this week's book from one of my favorite new characters in the Star Wars universe, Thrawn. Do you know the difference between an error and a mistake, Ensign? The entire bridge had gone deathly still. Kulkazar swallowed again, his face starting to go pale. No, sir. Anyone can make an error in sign, but that error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We will talk a lot about Star Wars this week. We are digging into Heir to the Empire. We have some Star Wars trivia that was crafted by one of our listeners, and I'm sure Dylan will sneak in some Star Wars news as well. I am one of your hosts, Justin, and with me is my good friend and colleague, Robert. What is up, bro?
Justin, Dylan, as always, I'm excited for another episode of the Nerdy Reads podcast. And hey, this is episode 50, guys. That is insane to think about. We made it to episode 50. Dylan, what is up?
Yeah, man, I'm super excited to get episode 50, especially because it's about Star Wars. And you know I love Star Wars, so.
Yes, you do. And today is Respect Your Cat Day and World Piano Day. Not quite as awesome as last week's.
My cat gives me high fives, dude. I'll have to record a video and throw it in the Floof channel on the Discord. I respect my cat. What's up, Sky Kitty? So I asked in our Discord, who is your favorite character in the Star Wars universe this week? We got some cool responses. Someone put Jar Jar Binks as a troll. We got like your typical, you got the Obi-Wan Kenobi by Blake Lockman. Great shout. Better Welder 123 gave us Darth Maul. Another great shout. Joshua posted up. I don't know who that guy is. Who is that, Dylan?
Let me go look real quick.
He put two of them up. It's got to be from a TV show I haven't seen. While you're doing that, Dylan was Darth Vader. I threw up R2-D2 for myself. I've always been a fan of the droids until Atalanta Ash reminded me that Natalie Portman is in the Star Wars universe. So I've changed my selection to Natalie Portman. User Super Reader gave us Princess Leia, and User Rubbish gave us Yoda. Watson gave us, I don't remember this droid's name. It's like 2-3PO or something. It ain't C-3PO.
It looks like the Iron Giant.
He's the droid from the Rogue One movie. K-2PO. I cannot remember his name for the life of me, but he was an awesome character. I remember liking him in that movie. But my question today for you guys, everybody has a favorite Star Wars character. Dylan, who's the most underrated character in the Star Wars universe?
That is a very, very good question. Underrated?
Your most underrated character.
Oh, my. Okay.
Personal
choice. Underrated character, Shin Hati from the Ahsoka show, a.k.a. Shin Daddy.
I should have known.
Also, this Andor? Joshua's answers that you didn't know. So the first one is Cassian Andor from the Andor show, and the other one is Ezra Bridger, which is from Rebels, and you would know that if you watch Rebels.
Hey, man, I might have to now because this week's book got me stoked for all things Star Wars.
Hey, bro, guess what? In Rebels, Thrawn's in Rebels.
Oh.
Hey, Thrawn's that guy. All right, guys, speaking of all things Star Wars, it's time for Comic Corner. Hey, this week on Comic Corner, it's brought to you by upcoming show Comic Corner, which will release in April. In honor of Star Wars today on Comic Corner, we are discussing Star Wars, The High Republic Adventures, Crash Landing, number one. Danielle Jose Older is the writer of this story, and the artist is Rochelle Argano. Crash and her, Crash, Angua, and her ragtag crew have been fighting against anyone who had a hand in the Nihil infiltration that plunged her home planet of Corellia into chaos. Even though an uneasy peace has been reached, if they don't continue to fight, everything they sacrificed for could slip away. Now Crash has a lead on the person behind the entire Nihilia plot. If her crew can accomplish this mission, could true peace be on the horizon? This comic is 32 pages and it's going to run you about $5.99. This one should be in your local comic shops now. The art style in this one is very interesting and the crew looks cool. I will post this in our Discord for you to check out. Guys, some of these Star Wars comics are very interesting looking.
So this comic just came out this week?
Yes.
Sweet, dude. Yeah, definitely post that up in the Discord because like I said, after this week's book, I'm now interested in all of the Star Wars universe.
Dude, this one does look very cool. Not gonna lie. I like the art style of this. Very cool. Very cartoony. But some of these characters, man, are just like, I don't know, look very cool. Very interesting. I dig it. I'll post this. I'll be sure to post this so everybody can take a look.
Dylan, do you read the Star Wars comics as well?
Something I want to get into. There's a lot of Vader comics that have piqued my interest that I definitely would like to read. But I have not read very many in my day. So hopefully that will change.
You know, hey guys, we want to go ahead and get right into the New Stuff Cafe because you guys have some food that is going cold and we have lots of trivia to discuss. So give us just a second and we'll be right back.
It's done being cold, buddy.
It's done being cold.
Mine's cold because it's on ice. It's in the fridge. I'm going to grab it. Hey, I'm taking a walk to the fridge for a food item.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the New Stuff Cafe. Today, we have a listener who made some Star Wars trivia for us. But before we do, Robert and Dylan will be trying a hot new item from the Little C's menu. Robert, what will you be having?
Well, unfortunately, Justin, my menu item is not so hot. But if you go to Little Caesars between 4 and 8 o'clock, you can get your Crazy Puffs hot and ready for the low, low price of $3.99. This is the internet's latest food obsession, and for once, it's actually affordable. Little Caesar is a pizza company. Most of you probably know them. They're known for their budget pizza. It's like used to be $5. I think it's $6 now. These are being billed as bite-sized pockets of pizza perfection. Look, I like Little Caesars, guys. I'm not a Little Caesars hater, but the last thing I would ever describe Little Caesars as is pizza perfection. But I digress. I've heard nothing but good things about these pizza puffs, and I'm ready to dive in and try one.
I've been smelling this thing for the past, I don't know, almost an hour now, I would say. Almost 2 hours, really. And, man, I want to eat one so bad, and I'm ready to just dig in.
Little Caesars, dude, I knew we were going to do this episode, and I had to pick these up, but we were having a meeting beforehand. Little Caesars has a shelf life, listeners. From the time it leaves the window at the Caesars to the time it gets to your car, you have like 5 minutes. All right. I took a bite of one of these in the car on the way home because I needed to have like the memory of what it tasted like hot. For $4, you could do a lot worse for lunch. There are a lot of things you can go buy for $4 that are not as good as these. These are pretty solid from Little Caesars.
I bought this for Oliver last week. Because he really wanted to try these. I don't even know how he discovered that these existed. But he has asked for them every day since. So this is like his favorite food item are these pizza puffs now. So I don't know. I take his word for it. Dylan's over here chewing into the
mic. Sorry. My bad. I was going to say, we started talking at the same time. But I was going to say, you get four of them for $4. I mean, it's honestly a steal deal.
It is a steal of a deal. My teenager tried one when I got home with them, and he said they were good. So I'm going to try one cold because there was 0% chance I'm eating a lukewarm item from Little Caesars and also 0% chance it's in the microwave.
Do it, bro.
It's good cold. I like these.
Well, there you go. Hey, sounds like we have a Nerdy Reed stamp of approval on something from the Little C's menu, Pizza Puffs.
Oh, you got two?
What'd you get?
Yeah, they're $4. I got cheese and pepperoni.
Oh, nice.
I threw a tip on there and got out of there under $10.
Dude, you can't be, like I said earlier, man, $4. A box of these can be your lunch. And there are tons of things that are not near as good for that price. My recommendation.
All right. So while you guys are finishing up your pizza puffs, we have a listener by the name of Zach Roseberry, who was so kind and created some questions for us. Now, he is also a Star Wars super fan. Like, I think we have quite a few people that requested us to read Heir to the Empire. And so you guys are probably going to get a kick out of today's trivia because it was made by a Star Wars fan. These right here, these are handcrafted. This is the real deal. So he wants to give Dylan the opportunity to prove himself as a true Star Wars fan. So here's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to read each one of these questions. He did give us the multiple choice. And so if you know it, spit it out. But you get a whole point. If you don't, I'll read out the multiple choice to give you a chance and you get half a point. Okay. The first set of questions are about Darth Maul canon. Is in parentheses.
I've lost already. I can tell you right now. If it's something to do with Darth Maul out of the 10 minutes he was in episode one, I'm out.
We all know Darth Maul experienced his biggest life-altering event in Naboo when Obi-Wan Kenobi cut him in half and let him fall down a reactor shaft. On what planet did Darth Maul meet his final demise, also at the hands of Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Tatooine.
I was going to guess Tatooine because it's the only Star Wars planet I know.
All right. Obi-Wan Kenobi sliced Darth Maul in half and left him presumed dead on Naboo. What was the biggest way Darth Maul got revenge on Obi-Wan during the Clone Wars?
I'm going to have to take the multiple choice on this one.
Okay. A. Destroyed Obi-Wan's entire attack fleet. B. Murdered Obi-Wan's love interest. C. Destroyed Obi-Wan's home planet. Or D. Desecrated the grave of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn? You blasphemer.
Oh, no. Hey, listen, dude. You're
getting flamed.
It's over.
I'm going to say that.
What are you saying, Robert? A. All right.
I'd say the love interest one, I believe.
It is the love interest. That's a point and a half for Dylan. That's what I thought.
Now. Okay.
I would have gone with Qui-Gon Jinn. What was the name of Darth Maul's clan brother?
Dude, I actually read this. I
found the. Ooh, let me finish the question. Hey, what was the name of Darth Maul's clan brother who found and rescued him from the trash planet of Lotho Minor?
It starts with an N.
Okay, go ahead and guess, Robert.
I don't know what it is.
It doesn't start with an N, so I don't know. You came in with so much confidence and completely wrong. Go ahead, Dylan.
Oh, man, hold on. I may have to go multiple. Like, I know it. I can see his face. I just can't think of the way to pronounce the name. So I may have to go with the multiple choice.
Dylan, is it yellow?
I'm scared now to say names, but here we go. A. Savage Opress. B.
There it is. Yep, it's that one. You only have to say the other ones.
There you go. Now we got thank you for saving me from having to say all those names. 2 points for Dylan.
Savage.
Zero for Robert. What's the name of Darth Maul's homeworld?
Dathomir.
I was very upfront at the start of this that if it extends past the movies, I'm out.
Don't worry, dude. This is the last one, Darth Maul. During the Clone Wars, Darth Maul reestablished his quest for power alongside his clan brother. How did Darth Maul's former master, Darth Sidious, make him pay for his attempted uprising?
I don't know.
Did he destroy his homeworld?
That was a good guess, bro. A. Sent the clones to destroy his homeworld. B. Killed his brother in a lightsaber duel. C. Paid Cad Bane to kill him. And D. Electrocuted his pet Gundark.
All right, My guess was wrong because you gave us the multiple choice. So you ruled us down to three. I'm going to go with B.
Yeah, Robert got it, dude. Half point for Robert. It's 3-0.
I'm on the board.
In Legends, Grand Admiral Thrawn is one of the most qualified to lead the Empire. Why was he not targeted by the Rebellion after the Battle of Endor?
I just read that book and I don't know the answer to this question.
He never actually made it to the rank of Grand Admiral, was A. B, he had recently replaced one of the Grand Admirals and the records weren't updated. C, he had scared the Rebellion out of hunting him down in an epic naval defeat. D, he died alongside the Emperor at the Battle of Endor.
All right, it's either A or B, man. I'm going to go with A.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I might go with A. Well, you can go ahead, I guess. Was that right or wrong?
He didn't give it to me, so it was wrong.
It was wrong. All right. We're going to let you. It was B. He had recently replaced one of the Grand Admirals, and the records weren't updated. That's an epic answer. In canon, why was Thrawn unable to assist the Emperor in his revenge against the Rebellion after the Battle of Yavin?
In canon? So we got 9.
I have an answer, but like I just don't. I feel like it's not right.
Go ahead. So give me some. I have
the multiple choice.
I'll give you the multiple choice. How about this? From henceforth, I'm just going to say all the multiple choice questions. A, he was hypersped away at the hands of Ezra Bridger.
Okay, that was that one. That was what I was going to say. I wasn't confident in it. It's A.
Okay, that is correct. Now Dylan has whatever. Sorry. I'm just giving 1 point away now.
Robert still has it. Dylan's one.
I was just getting my timelines mixed up, and so I was okay. But we're good.
Yeah. Which aspect of Thrawn's enemies did Thrawn take the most interest in? A. Their resource manufacturing. Wow. Okay, Robert. There you go. Robert's on the board, baby.
I had to do something.
4. What race did Thrawn belong to?
Oh man.
I don't even want to say these names.
He's blue with red eyes.
I want to say like Ketch. It's not Ketch. That's stupid. I can't think of how to pronounce it. Like
the blue people.
Chet. Something like that.
I'm gonna give you this because it's Chiss. And Chiss.
Chess. I think that's what it is. Maybe that's what Chiss? It is.
All right, we'll go with it. Yeah. Number 5. Yeah. In Legends, what did Thrawn use to counteract the powers of Force?
Yes, some Malir little lizards.
Yes, sir. Yep. Okay.
I don't even know if I said that right.
Hey, these next set of questions are just general Star Wars lore questions. In parentheses, canon. Okay.
Canon.
How many true Sith did Obi-Wan Kenobi fight against?
Like in the movies?
A, 3, B, okay. 4, C, 1, D. He never fought any. Bro, that's don't ask one question.
I say 2. One. Was 2 1? If not 2, 3.
Okay, what do you... go ahead, 3? Okay,
if that's 2 it. Was that's an correct. Option,
I'm like, oh, 3 is correct. And three? You get a bonus. You does get bonus. If, you can bonus.
Well, I mean, he fought Vader. Three. He fought... Darth Maul.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Yep. What's the third one?
Oh, do I need to know the third one, bro?
I'm just saying this is bonus, bro.
The bonus.
Oh, okay. Let's put you back on the map right here, bro.
Yeah, but see, I didn't watch.
Dooku.
Oh, that Count Dooku. Dooku. Yeah, I forgot about Dooku.
Count Dooku.
Christopher Lloyd.
I was just blanking. I'm goofing right now.
2. True or false? Sorry. The prophecy of the Chosen One mandated that they would be a Jedi Knight.
No.
Correct. True false. Or false, the stormtroopers we see in the original trilogy are the clones from the prequel trilogy.
False.
True or false, the dark side is the pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
True.
Who was the most skilled lightsaber wielder at the time of the fall of the Jedi?
Yoda.
Duke.
Yoda.
Wow, you both came in saying things, and both of you were wrong.
Was it Mace Windu?
It's Mace Windu.
There's no... Oh, you said lightsaber wield? You didn't specify Jedi.
Listen, dude. That's just this was the question.
I'd make a case for Count Dookie.
I mean, can you do whatever you want. Yes, you can.
Thank you.
I can't be a part of these arguments. You have to take that up as
I guess at the fall. You said at the fall of the Jedi?
Yeah. All right, bro. I'm moving on.
I guess technically Count Dooku's dead at that point. So
let's move on. Who can name the most Jedi?
Dylan, go ahead. Easy. I mean, I can name like three.
Go ahead, Dylan.
Go ahead first. Well, Robert, go first.
All right, dude. We'll go. Robert Skywalker. Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, their kids, Jace and something or other. They had three kids. Han Solo and Leia had three kids. They all were Jedi. Now, I don't know if Mara Jade's a Jedi or a Sith. That might be a spoiler for book two. Ezra, I'm pretty sure that kid's going to turn into a Jedi. Obi-Wan Kenobi, of course. Mace Windu, Yoda. Some Plo Koon, was that his name? The fish looking dude, Plo Koon. What's her name? Ahsoka. That's all I got.
Anakin.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, Anakin. Sure.
He was a Jedi.
So do I have to name?
You don't have to name it. Can you name
it? I was going to name all of those. Came in sure. Additional. Kiadu Mundi.
Dylan wins. All right. Who are the probable parents of Grogu?
Probable parents.
Yeah.
The Yoda race.
I guess Yoda and Yaddle.
How did Yoda and Obi-Wan learn how to become Force ghosts?
Through Qui-Gon.
Final question. True or false, Endor was a moon?
That is true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's safe to say that Dilly P is the winner.
Robert held his own.
Robert made a comeback here at the end. I didn't quite keep complete tabs on your score because I kind of gave up on Robert
after we went through the
Darth Maul canon part. But I think it's safe to say that Robert is that Dilly P who wins this thing. Hey, thanks Zach Roseberry. He's actually tagged a little note at the end of this. He said, "Hey, love the podcast. Really enjoy listening, and thank you so much for the honor of creating these questions for you. I hope they're a lot of fun. I hope it makes everyone want to look at Star Wars a little more closely to appreciate the depth the story offers." So thanks, Zach. We appreciate you for making that, man.
Zach, we appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for submitting the questions. They were a lot of fun. I could tell Dylan didn't know like 97% of them, and I'm pretty sure he had like Google up in his hand that we can't see on the camera. So I call cheating for this. And yeah, that's it.
All right, guys, give us just a few minutes. We're going to continue on this Star Wars train as we're getting ready to go and talk about Star Wars: Heir to the Empire here in just a moment. Timothy Zahn attended Michigan State University, earning a Bachelor's of Science degree in physics in 1973. He then moved to the University of Illinois in Urbana, Champaign, and achieved a master's degree in physics in 1975. While he was pursuing a doctorate in physics, his advisor became ill and died. Zahn never completed the doctorate in 1975. He had begun writing science fiction as a hobby, and he became a professional writer. He and his wife live in Bandon, Oregon, and he is the author of today's book, Heir to the Empire. Robert, give us the rundown, my man.
Heir to the Empire is set 5 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. With the war seemingly won, the New Republic faces unforeseen challenges to galactic peace. The Rebel Alliance has destroyed the Death Star, defeated Darth Vader and the Emperor, and they have driven the remnants of the old Empire back into a fraction of the territory that they once held. Princess Leia and Han Solo are married. They're expecting twins and have shouldered heavy burdens as members of the government for the New Republic. Luke Skywalker is the first in line of a new order of Jedi Knights. However, thousands of light years away, the last of the Emperor's warlords has taken command of the remains of the Imperial fleet.
Hey, this one here is tagged science fiction, space opera, science fiction, fantasy. And I mean, a tag says Star Wars because what more do you need to tag a book about Star Wars with?
I agree, dude. And you know, this is a special episode here of the Nerdy Reads podcast. At least once a month, we try to have a Dylan read. So, Dylan, did you read the book?
I sure did. And I really enjoyed this book, and it was great to dig into because I I feel like I've, as a Star Wars fan, like this is one of those books that kind of everyone in the community knows about, whether you've read it or not. And I feel like there's a lot of hype behind the Thrawn character. And, you know, seeing him in Rebels and never reading this book before and hearing all the rave about his appearance, like I just didn't really know who he really was and what kind of character he was. And so it was nice to kind of get a little more of a backstory to him and learn about him as a character, as well as some other characters that are unfortunately now in Legends. But it's still really cool to hear a different character and really hear the story of Star Wars continue and be what it was actually supposed to be and not what the sequels are.
I'm not going to lie to either one of you guys. I was nervous going into this one because I'm what you would call a casual fan of the Star Wars universe, dude. Like, I love the original trilogy, you know, and I've dabbled with more than my fair share of Star Wars video games. But, like, outside of the movies and then a few of the games here or there, I haven't really, like, dove too deep into the other side of Star Wars, like the books, the comics, Clone Wars, Rebels. I watched Mandalorian because Baby Yoda, like most of us did. So, like, I had anxiety going in to read this book because I was really like, man, am I going to be interested in this? Am I going to dig this at all? Is it going to be a slog? Nah, man. I love this book. I love it so much that as of this recording, it's my book of the year.
You know, there's been a lot of things that have led to this book. Robert and I were at a Barnes & Noble. I don't even remember when this was. This was the beginning of winter. It might have even been before Christmas hit. And we were running through science fiction. We're like, hey, man, what's the next science fiction book that we're going to read? And this dude walks up to us, and he shows us Heir to the Empire. And I remember, because both of us were like, Star Wars book? Nah. We're like, we just got done reading Project Hail Mary. There's no way we're reading a Star Wars book. And we both kind of shut it off. Like, nah, this isn't going to happen. Man, did I? I'm glad we didn't miss the boat, bro.
Yeah, I got to eat some crow. I mean, I'll eat it too, because I love this book. The author, Timothy Zahn, he was able to capture like all the things about Star Wars that I loved when I was young. Like, there was an awesome story. The characters were super compelling. There was a lot of action in this book. And the novel actually set the bar pretty high for what I'm going to expect if I'm going to dive deeper into the Star Wars expanded universe. And it even made it easy for me to see why, like, Dylan here and my friend Chris, who recommended this novel to me also. Thanks for that, by the way, Chris. I can see why you two dudes are, like, so invested in this universe now. Because this book, for me, holds the potential of what Star Wars can be outside of the movies.
Thrawn's such a good character. I know we kind of hit touch base on it earlier, but I think it's cool because he doesn't have the Jedi powers or the Sith powers or whatever you want to call, because he would be on the dark side or whatever. But he doesn't have those kind of powers. His power is his mind. And he's just this military genius who also has this way of understanding people and what makes them tick. And so just the way that he's able to navigate battles, the way he's even able to navigate conversations. I mean, that quote that we were reading earlier was happening after someone failed in their pursuit of Luke. And then he's sitting there with them and he goes, hey, you know what the difference in error and mistake is? You know, a mistake is, you know, whatever, you got to correct it or whatever. And he ends up just getting this dude killed, you know? So like, he can be ruthless and he can be brutal, but then there's this other part of him that understands that sometimes you don't do that to people. And so it's just this, man, it's just like, yeah, he's an evil dude or he's bad or all those kind of things, but man, he's smart. I enjoyed him as a villain for sure.
I agree. I'll echo that. I think he was brilliant. He was like a master strategist, cool, calm, collected. I love like how they describe him. He's just walking around with the little lizard, the Yasimilari, like hanging off of him. Like, yeah, Jedi's can't touch me, which I love because I always kind of thought the Jedi were just like OP in Star Wars. Like, sure. Oh yeah, the Jedi are just going to show up and win. But Thrawn's like, nah, I figured out how to stop that. What's up? So I'm happy Thrawn lived up to the hype because I've heard the name Thrawn thrown around in Star Wars circles for years. Like, some of my close friends, random internet bros, everybody's claiming how great he is and like this disservice Disney did by not telling this story. And I like The Force Awakens. I don't know about you two, but like I went to the theater an absurd amount by my standards to watch The Force Awakens. At least four times I paid movie theater prices to see this thing on the big screen. And then I watched it a couple times at home. But after reading this book, I'm Dylan. Like now I'm mad at Disney because I don't get this story. Because this story is like years better than that trilogy they gave us as a sequel. It's miles better. This one book is single-handedly better than anything, Mandalorian included, that Disney has released that I've seen of the Star Wars universe.
And Mandalorian's pretty good too. So that's high praise, I feel like.
I don't hate the Mandalorian. I love the Mandalorian. Yeah,
sure.
Like, high praise. Like Disney has good moments. They really do. Like, I'll never forget that interaction between, like, in the Obi-Wan show where Obi-Wan and Anakin or Darth Vader, they kind of meet up for one final battle before the original first movie came out. So like, or I guess A New Hope, like before their meet up in A New Hope, that kind of brought back another battle in between A New Hope and Revenge of the Sith. And that was a really cool moment. And like Disney has those moments, but it's just like, it's just, it has nothing on stories like that are in Legends. And especially when it comes to Heir to the Empire, like it just, it's nowhere clear. It's like, it's nowhere near being on that level. Like I said, Disney gives us some good stuff, but they really drop the ball in a lot of other places. And I think that just makes it so much harder because there is a lot of source material and content out there that they could be using that they just refuse to for some reason because they want to make their own thing. And it's just not living up to the standard that I believe Star Wars needs to have.
I'm not familiar, as we've already stated, with like the current state of Star Wars canon, but like there's another character in this book outside of Thrawn. There's actually a couple, but this smuggler who kind of takes over for Jabba the Hutt's absence, Talon Card, he's awesome, dude. He is like a great, like kind of gray, good, bad guy, kind of like I'm not on either side, I'm doing me character. Like, is he in the current Disney verse anywhere?
I don't believe so.
No, or like what about his like associate Mara Jade? Is she in there?
Yeah, she is not canon at all, which I actually really enjoyed because I've also heard that name be thrown around a lot along with Thrawn. And so getting to, I kind of always thought like, oh, like I knew it was a like some sort of almost like love interest for Luke. And so like whenever I was reading and I realized that she was pretty much just came in like trying to kill him. And I was like, oh, dang, yeah. This wasn't what I was expected. But so it was kind of cool to get to read about that.
Yeah, because like Talon Card and Mara Jane, like Mara Jade's big revelation towards the end of the novel, like that hyped me up. The state with Talon Card's in at the end of the book, like I'm so eager to jump into book two that I'm going to be highly upset if this is not our May the 4th episode book. Because I have to see this trilogy.
Look, it has to be. I think that having established characters in this book, like Luke, Leia, Han, you know, all that stuff, I feel like it kind of helped with some of that, like as far as like being able to step right in and understand what's happening or even have like pictures in your head of who these people are, all that. I guess a question I would have for you guys, like let's say you weren't necessarily super familiar with the Star Wars universe, I still feel like this book holds up as far as being a story that's just well written.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you don't have a connection to the Star Wars universe and someone hands you this, I think you would enjoy it just for the story that's in this book alone, because I think Timothy Zahn did do a great job at creating suspense, building these characters, like fleshing out characters that are already well known, but he kind of took them and made them his own a little bit. And in the version I read, it was really interesting. I had like a 20th anniversary edition. It had footnotes and stuff, and you could click on the footnotes in the Kindle and he would have all these snippets about, I did this way, or I did this because of this. And one of the big things was like LucasArts had control over what happened to the canon character, so he couldn't do too much, but they kind of let him have some free reign in some ways. And that stuff's interesting. I think you could read this book without, you know, anything else and be okay.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. But I think having those connections are actually at least for me, made it even more so, like, almost emotional, if I'm being honest. Like, whenever I've read, I believe it was like at, right at the start of chapter two, and I was listening to the Audible version. So it was read by Mark Thompson, and he did a phenomenal job reading through the book on Audible, especially because it had like sound effects and everything. It was really cool. But like starting the start of chapter two, when it's just Obi-Wan just saying, "Luke," like that, I literally about lost it. Like, I was like, man, that like just brought me back, and I love that so much. So I feel like you could be a great story with having those connections, but if you do, it just means so much more.
I wish more I wish more audiobooks had the stuff like this, as far as like sound effects I thought were really, really cool. Like, and I mean, the music's different because it's Star Wars music, and not every story would have like that signature sound in between chapters or even like an epic moment like this book did. But I mean, all of those things put together just made this really, really cool narration of this story that we don't get all the time. And you Robert, I think me and you had this conversation. There was a moment where I thought this was different people. Voice acting, yeah. But I guess it was same. All the same dude. And so this
especially
guy,
especially that switch to Han Solo, that was impressive.
He sound just like Han Solo, bro. And he even got like that little like swag, captured it perfectly. And yeah, so good, dude. So good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Did you guys have like any particular scene that stood out in this novel? I know Justin, for you, is probably on the bridge when Thrawn shows that he can be cruel. But Dylan, was there anything in this that stood out to you particularly?
I don't know if I can really just choose just one thing, to be honest. It was just really cool to just see the core group from the original trilogy just go on more adventure, honestly, as a whole.
All right. So there was a moment in the book that stood out to me I loved. And it's, you know, I talked about how I thought the Jedi were godlike and nothing could stop him. Well, Luke's on the planet where the Yasamalari come from. He cannot use the Force whatsoever, and he's taken prisoner. And you actually get to see like how resourceful of a character Luke is outside of relying on the Force. And I thought everything that played out there, not to spoil anything for anyone that's going to read, so I'm not going to dive into it. But I thought seeing Luke operate without having the Force, it was really interesting and intriguing to me, and I love the way that played out. Man, this book is awesome. 10 out of 10. Nerdy Reads super recommend. If you're a fan of the original trilogy and you haven't like dived deep into all the other things Star Wars, this book's for you, because I'm you. I'm not Dylan, and I love this book. But if you are Dylan, you're going to love this book even more.
If you're reluctant about it because you're worried that it is just going to be this, I don't know, I'm going to say the word, but super nerd kind of vibe where you're like, this is just too much. I think we've talked about that a little bit here. I encourage you to let that go and give this thing a try because I'm probably out of the three of us, I'm what you would call a Star Wars enjoyer. Like, I enjoy the movies. I go and watch them. I can't even say the names right, of course, because we just, as we saw in trivia, but I enjoy Star Wars. It's a fun thing. I like it. Love The Mandalorian. Thought it was a cool show. Like the movies, all that kind of stuff. But I am not what you would call a super fan. And so I read this book, and yes, I echo what Robert said. It's my favorite book we've read so far too. It's got a lot of cool action in it. It does have some cool moments where there is some emotional investment type of things. And so, man, this book just, it does have it all. And so I just encourage you to go and give that a try. If you are at all interested in Star Wars, this is definitely worth your time.
My final thoughts, honestly, this should have been the sequel trilogy.
I agree.
All right, guys, give us just a few minutes. We can't wait. Be right back with some nerdy news.
Nerdy news time. Let's go. Our sighting of the week this week. Our sighting of the week this week comes from user AlienTold on Instagram. The user does not have an official source, but trustworthy commenter on said post believes the writing on what looks to be some sort of medical chart is in Portuguese, and I was able to make out some of these words. The words are evidence and operate via Google Translate, and I can confirm that the words on this chart are indeed Portuguese. So that was pretty cool. But if you would be interested in seeing this video of this alien being worked on, you can go check out in the Discord. I know we've been doing a lot of aliens recently, but there's a ton of stuff. It's, I mean, the alien stuff is pretty popping right now in the news world. So yeah, go check it out in our Discord on our sighting board. If you have not joined our Discord, please do.
Dylan, yet another sighting.
Yeah, well, the alien sightings are popping off.
Another sighting in, what is this, 480p?
How'd you find this?
I have my sources. Listen, I think it kind of looks like a fetus. I'm not going to lie.
It definitely looks like a fetus.
And it also looks like there might be some alien boobage going on. Sorry for the toasty.
Toasty! I don't know how I feel about this, dude. Sometimes I like circle back to it's real. But this, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't even know what I'm looking at, honestly. I'm confused. But this video has a staggering 189 likes, so it must be true.
I think it's an alien fetus.
Fair. Next!
Very exciting news in the world of Star Wars this week for the 25th anniversary of Robert's favorite prequel movie, Episode One: The Phantom Menace. Disney has announced that they will be releasing every single Star Wars film from the Skywalker saga in theaters on May 3rd and 4th. The marathon will last a little over 20 hours, showing all 9 films from the OT to the prequels to sequels. I'm really excited. I've been scouring the internet to find if there's any tickets, for any theaters near me, and it's been kind of hard, but I believe there is one that's kind of close, so I'm definitely looking forward to buying tickets and hopefully checking it out. I've been checking daily for when the tickets go on sale. I don't think they have yet, but I'm really hoping to be able to experience these films in theater, because I did not get to experience the first 6 films anyway in theater. So would you guys sit through a whole 20-hour marathon, all the Star Wars? I know personally, I would only sit through 6 of them because those are the real Star Wars movies. But what do you guys think?
I would sit through the original movies because I think it would be cool to see that on the big screen, because I've never gotten to experience that either. In fact, the only one of us old enough actually to have been able to experience that and have memories of it is Justin. But definitely those first 3, I would go. The prequels and the new ones, I might check out the 3rd one. Is that Revenge of the Sith? That movie's rad. I'd check that one out. And Force Awakens, I'd watch again in theaters.
I like going to the theater. If it's a marathon and we're saying, hey, we're going to go hang out for several hours and watch all these movies, I'd go. Why not?
If I can like get up and get snacks, like while episode, I show up late, if they're playing them in chronological order, like I'll show up when episode 3 starts and then I'll leave after the Force Awakens.
And our last piece of news for this week is a little over 2 weeks ago, Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection was released. And man, the release did not go as planned. So IGN reported that on release, the game was plagued with bugs, server issues, and more. And it underscores the affection that people seem to still have for these games. So I know that we have some listeners that have played the game, and they've kind of talked about their experience in our Discord chat, and then Justin also was kind of interested in playing the game. But hopefully it's fixed by now. I don't really know if it's still messy, but hey, hopefully it'll perform eventually and make it playable. Justin, will you be checking it out at some point?
Well, so when I was younger and this first dropped, this was one of my favorite multiplayer experiences. Even though back then it was difficult to play this multiplayer on Xbox and all that kind of stuff. But I remember playing this all the time, being obsessed with it. And so if they get this fixed, I will revisit and go and play this game 100%, especially because it is on the cheaper side. It's not like you're buying a $70 game. You're buying, I think it's like $35. I've looked at it a few different times, but I would go back and play this and revisit my old stomping grounds.
Yeah, I liked was it a few years ago, maybe a whole console generation ago, they released a Battlefront game, and like in the middle of the fight, you could become a hero and you could be like Boba Fett or like Yoda, and you just go around and murk the battlefield. Like that game was cool.
That game was fun. The game was a lot of fun.
I believe EA made 2 of those games, and the first one flopped really hard because it was riddled with microtransactions and stuff that you can buy, like all the free-to-play games are, except you actually had to pay for this game and still pay for additional content. And I think Battlefront 2 had a rocky start whenever it came out as well. but I believe it's in a lot better place. I played it, I've dabbled in it a little bit, and it's actually a lot of fun.
I did some fact checking on the game releasing is broken. They did release a patch for this game for the PC version. However, the console version is reportedly still busted.
I just figures.
It's how it goes, my friends. But always. I would be interested in playing this with you guys sometime, so we'll keep an eye on it.
Robert, you know what time it is?
And it's time for What's Hot. We here at the Nerdy Reads Podcast can't read everything, so we bring you something popular out there in the book world. And this week, we have a debut novel by Kristen Perrin titled How to Solve Your Own Murder. This one is for fans of Knives Out and the Thursday Murder Club. It's billed as an enormously fun mystery about a woman who spends her entire life trying to prevent her foretold murder, only to be proven right 60 years later when she is found dead in her sprawling country estate. Now it's up to her great niece to catch the killer. Reviewers on Goodreads are praising this story for it being a clever, drama-filled whodunit that will have you guessing until the very end. It's currently sitting at a 3.97 out of 5 with 1,800 ratings. I highlighted this because, dude, it's a debut author and the premise of it sounds pretty interesting. Like, if somebody says, hey, dude, this is how you're going to die, I'm going to try and stop that from happening. And then it happens anyway. What a bummer.
Wasn't there a movie like this?
Final Destination-ish, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's fine. Maybe Final Destination is what I'm thinking of.
I get vibes of Final Destination from this story. Yeah, I dig it. This one, actually, I was interested in quite a bit.
Yeah.
And dude, coming up next on the Nerdy Reads Podcast, we're going to be joined by special guest Virgil. He's coming back and we're all going to talk video games, as the book we're covering is Video Game of the Year by Jordan Miner. Join us as we break this book down that goes through 40 years of video games history with the most popular art form out there. I'm looking forward to this one, guys.
Guys, this was a fun episode. Man, all Star Wars related things. We did some Star Wars trivia. Thanks again to Zach for getting that together for us. We talked Heir to the Empire. We tried some Little Caesars. What was that? Pizza Puffs?
They were called Crazy Puffs.
Crazy Puffs. And apparently all of it was a smash hit. So really, this was just a episode of stamp of approvals all over the place, because everybody liked everything we did today, which is awesome, actually. So, man, we had a lot of fun. We hope that you did too. We have a ton of things coming up. Robert, where are they going to find that at?
You can find us over on Facebook, Instagram, Goodreads, at the Nerdy Reads Podcast, and join our Discord server where we put the link after every comment. Coming up in April, we're going to host our first ever Nerdy Reads Book Club. You can vote on which selection you would like to read along with the group over a two-week period in our Discord and on our social media channels. Voting closes on March 31st.
That's right. So you have 3 days, I think, as of this episode dropping. So go and make that happen. So Dylan, do you have some advice for us today?
Listen, never fall in love with a tennis player, because love means nothing to them.
Wow. Here on the Nerdy Reads Podcast, we enjoy a good story. We believe that your story matters, so be good to each other and stay nerdy, our friends. Say bye, Dylan.
Bye-bye.
I'm glad that Dylan's advice this week was a dad joke. See you next week.